Welcome to Mealtime with Marjorie. Let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am so grateful for God's daily bread. I believe He gives us the food we need to nourish our bodies and our souls. 3 times a day or more, we take care of feeding our bodies. Right now, we will feed our souls from Hebrews chapter 7. Bon appetit, my friends. Thanks for joining me. We'll begin reading Hebrews chapter 7 from the Simplified Living Bible text. Melchizedek, King of Justice and Peace, verse 1. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem. He was also a priest of the Most High God. Once Abraham was going home after winning a great battle against many kings. Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Abraham took a tenth of all he won in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. Melchizedek's name means justice. So he is the king of justice. He is also the king of peace. Why? Because the name of his city is Salem, which means peace. Melchizedek had no father or mother. There's no record of any of his ancestors. He was never born, and he never died. His life is like that of the Son of God. He is a priest forever. Melchizedek was a great man. Abraham was the first of God's chosen people. Even he gave Melchizedek a tenth of what he took from the kings he fought. Abraham should have done this only if Melchizedek was a priest of God. Later on, the law told God's people to give gifts to their priests. But the priests were part of their own family. Melchizedek was not a part of the family, but still Abraham paid him. Then Melchizedek placed a blessing upon mighty Abraham. Everyone knows the person who blesses is greater than the person who is blessed. The Jewish priests were men who would someday die. Even so, they were given a tenth of all the people had. But we are told that Melchizedek lives on. Levi was the first of all Jewish priests. One might even say that Levi himself paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. Levi wasn't born when this happened, but the seed from which he came was in Abraham. It was in him when Abraham paid Melchizedek. What if the Jewish priests and laws could save us? Why would God send Christ as a priest like Melchizedek? He could have sent a priest who was the same as Aaron. That was what all the other priests were. When God sends a new kind of priest, His law must change to allow it. We all know that Christ didn't belong to the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. That tribe had not been chosen for priesthood. Moses had never given them that work. Christ is like Melchizedek, verse 15. So we can plainly see that God's method changed. Christ, the new high priest, came with the rank of Melchizedek. Did he become a priest by belonging to the tribe of Levi? No. Christ was a priest because of the power flowing from a life that cannot end. As the psalmist says of Christ, you are a priest forever, like Melchizedek. Yes, the priesthood based on family lines has ended because it didn't work. It was weak and useless for saving people. It never made anyone really right with God. But now we have a far better hope. Christ makes it so God welcomes us. Now we can come close to God. God promised that Christ would always be a priest. He never said that of other priests. To Christ, He said, "The Lord has made a promise. He will never change His mind." You are a priest forever like Melchizedek. That is why Christ can guarantee forever this new and better plan. Under the old plan, there had to be many priests. Then when the older ones died, the system could still carry on with others. But Jesus lives forever. He continues to be a priest so that no one else is needed. He is able to totally save all who come to God through him. He will live forever. So he will always be there to pray to God for us. So he is exactly the kind of high priest we need. He is holy and can't be blamed. He is unstained by sin, not ruined by sinners. To him has been given the place of honor in heaven. He never needs the daily blood of animal offerings as other priests did. They had to cover their own sins and then the sins of the people. But Christ finished all sacrifices once and for all. This happened when he sacrificed himself on the cross. In the old way, even the high priests were weak and sinful men. They could not keep from doing wrong. But the word of God's promise came later than the law. It made God's Son our high priest. And that Son is perfect forever. That concludes Hebrews chapter 7 in the Simplified Living Bible. Scripture quoted from the Simplified Living Bible, copyright 1990. Used by permission of Tyndall House Publishers, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Hebrews chapter 7, New Living Translation. Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, verse 1. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice. And King of Salem means King of Peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests, who are descendants of Levi, must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tithe from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die, so Melchizedek is greater than they are, because we are told that he lives on. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed to permit it. For the priest we are talking about belongs to a different tribe, whose members have never served at the altar as priests. What I mean is, our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentioned priests coming from that tribe. Jesus is like Melchizedek, verse 15. This change has been made very clear since a different priest who is like Melchizedek has appeared. Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus, for God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. That concludes Hebrews chapter 7 from the New Living Translation. Scripture quoted from the Holy Bible, New Living Translation. Copyright 2015 by Tyndale House Foundation. Used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, all rights reserved. Hebrews chapter 7 from the New American Standard Bible. Melchizedek's priesthood like Christ's. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils, and those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have a commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their countrymen, although they are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham, and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case one receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, has paid tithes. For he was still in the loins of his forefather when Melchizedek met him. So if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. For the one about whom these things are said belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses said nothing concerning priests. And this is clearer still if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is attested of him, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For, on the one hand, there is the nullification of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the introduction of a better hope, through which we come near to God, and to the extent that it was not without an oath. For they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath, through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever." By the same extent, Jesus also has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests, on the other hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who has no daily need like those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did this once for all time when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came from the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. That concludes the reading of Hebrews chapter 7 in the New American Standard Bible. Scripture quoted from the New American Standard Bible, NASB, copyright 2020 by the Lachman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved. Hebrews chapter 7 in the Amplified Bible, Melchizedek's priesthood like Christ's, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham as he returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of all the spoil. He is, first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, which means King of Peace. Without any record of father or mother, nor ancestral line, without any record of beginning of days, birth, nor ending of life, death, but having been made like the Son of God, he remains a priest without interruption and without successor. Now pause and consider how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. It is true that those descendants of Levi who are charged with the priestly office are commanded in the law to collect tithes from the people, which means from their kinsmen, though these have descended from Abraham. But this person, Melchizedek, who is not from their Levitical ancestry, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who possessed the promises of God. Yet it is beyond all dispute that the lesser person is always blessed by the greater one. Furthermore, here in the Levitical priesthood, tithes are received by men who are subject to death. But in that case, concerning Melchizedek, they are received by one of whom it is testified that he lives on perpetually. A person might even say that Levi, the father of the priestly tribe himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, the father of all Israel and of all who believe. For Levi was still in the loins, unborn, of his forefather Abraham, when Melchizedek met him, Abraham. Now, if perfection, a perfect fellowship between God and the worshiper, had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people were given the law, what further need was there for another and different kind of priest to arise, one in the manner of Melchizedek, rather than one appointed to the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is of necessity a change of the law, concerning the priesthood as well. For the one of whom these things are said belonged not to the priestly line of Levi, but to another tribe, from which no one has officiated or served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord descended from the tribe of Judah, and Moses mentioned nothing about priests in connection with that tribe. And this becomes even more evident if another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a physical and legal requirement in the law concerning his ancestry as a descendant of Levi, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible and endless life. For it is attested by God of him, "You, Christ, are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, a former commandment is canceled because of its weakness and uselessness, because of its inability to justify the sinner before God, for the law never made anything perfect. While on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we now continually draw near to God. And indeed, it was not without the taking of an oath that Christ was made priest. For those Levites who formerly became priests received their office without its being confirmed by the taking of an oath. But this one was designated with an oath through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind or regret it. You, Christ, are a priest forever." And so because of the oath's greater strength and force, Jesus has become the certain guarantee of a better covenant, a more excellent and more advantageous agreement, one that will never be replaced or annulled. The former successive line of priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were each prevented by death from continuing perpetually in office. But on the other hand, Jesus holds his priesthood permanently and without change, because he lives on forever. Therefore, he's able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf with God. It was fitting for us to have such a high priest, perfectly adapted to our needs, holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separated from sinners, and exalted higher than the heavens, who has no day-by-day need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices, first of all for his own personal sins, and then for those of the people, because he met all the requirements and did this once for all when he offered up himself as a willing sacrifice. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, frail, sinful, dying men, but the word of the oath of God, which came after the institution of the law, permanently appoints as priest a son who has been made perfect forever. That concludes the reading of Hebrews 7 from the Amplified Bible. Scripture quoted from the Amplified Bible, New Testament, copyright 2015 by the Lachman Foundation. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hebrews chapter 7, New King James Version, The King of Righteousness, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Need for a new priesthood, verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Greatness of the new priest, verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. That concludes the reading of Hebrews 7. In the New King James Version. Scripture quoted from the New King James Version, copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson Publishing. Used by permission, all rights reserved. A priest in the order of Melchizedek. On first reading, you may have asked yourself, how does this chapter apply to me? Perhaps you, like me, grew up in a church where there were no priests. So it may be helpful to remember that prior to Jesus' death on the cross, the priest was the only way for God's people to connect with him. They had to take their sacrifice to the priest and have him offer it to God to get their sins forgiven. The priests were the ones who had the scrolls, the word of God. The priests were God's ambassadors, God's way of communicating with the people. Priests were called by God, but they were sinful human beings. So they had to go through purification rituals and sacrifices for their own sins to be able to communicate with a holy God on behalf of the people. This whole system of priesthood and sacrifices and the law was established by God during the time of Moses. Abraham walked this earth hundreds of years before Moses, and as we read today, he met a high priest named Melchizedek. You can read that story in Genesis 14, 18 to 24. Melchizedek was not like the priests of Moses' day for several reasons. He came before the law, before the Levitical priesthood. He was not a Levite. In fact, he had no ancestry. He was superior to Father Abraham, the patriarch, the first Jew, called by God to be the father of many nations. The rank is seen in the fact that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe. He had no beginning and no end. He was like the Son of God. Now let's fast forward to a time after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, in fact, several years later, when the book of Hebrews was penned. In Hebrews 7, the author was speaking to Jews who had chosen to believe in the Messiah. These new Christians were expecting that Jesus would return soon, and some were disappointed in Christ's delay. They were struggling as they faced persecution, even considering whether they had made the right choice, and wondering if they should return to Judaism. In chapter 7, the Hebrews writer makes it clear that Jesus' perfect, one-time sacrifice for the sins of all mankind is far superior to the routine animal sacrifices, which he calls weak and useless, because the law never made anything holy. Now there is a superior law, a new covenant that is established on oath and will last forever. Jesus is the Son of God, our perfect high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, who intercedes with God on our behalf. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That is news worthy of celebrating. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's hit fast forward one more time and ask, what does all this mean to us today? Please allow me to share a brief story and see if anything I say might apply to you. I was raised as a conservative Mennonite. I wore long dresses with sleeves, nothing sleeveless, wore my hair up under the white net covering, which some people called a bonnet, and had a long list of rules to follow, such as no TV, no dancing, no roller skating, no bowling, and the usual no drinking, no smoking, no swearing, etc. I went through a season of rebellion where I changed my appearance and tried out some of those taboo behaviors. It was during that time that I married and had my little girl. As a young mother, I recognized my need for God. I cried out for forgiveness and repented of my sins. God forgave me and showed me His love in new and amazing ways. In my new devotion to Him, I wanted to do everything right. I was so in love with my Savior, I wanted to please Him. I asked, "May I wear a covering again, Lord?" He told me no. He assured me that my salvation is in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. My desire for holiness will not be accomplished by putting on a covering. Instead, I need to allow Holy Spirit to work on my inward attitudes and thoughts. My role is to trust and obey. His love draws me into Bible study, prayer, and worship with a new and fresh zeal that has multiplied through the years. I love Jesus and cannot wait to see Him face to face. He is my best friend. Having a relationship with my Savior is what I need and what He desires. Why do I tell you this? There are religious activities or restrictions or dress codes that we may participate in to make us feel pious or holy, but they're actually worthless, weak, useless, ineffective. Our salvation is from the shed blood of Jesus. Anything else that we put our hope and faith in to save us is not going to stand the test on the day of judgment. So you may not be tempted to go back to animal sacrifices or priests or wearing head coverings or conservative dress, but there may be something in your life that you trust more than you trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross to connect you with God and get you into heaven. Take a moment to think about it and ask Holy Spirit if there's anything that you should get rid of today. Remember, Jesus loves you. He paid the price for you and wants relationship with you. He calls us to trust and obey. Let's keep growing up, fighting the good fight of faith. You have a great high priest who's interceding for you with the Father right now. I love you, my friend.